Welcome to Word Mission Church International Podcast. Now the word.
Oh, meet each and every one of us at the point of our needs, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you would birth a miracle in each and every life today. Oh, we glorify you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. As your word comes forth, Father, in the name of Jesus, let there be healings, let there be deliverance. Oh, let the burdens roll away. Father, we receive wisdom. We receive direction from you today. Oh, Lord, I ask that you speak through me, not my words, but your words, Lord, that it will be life unto your people, Lord. Be glorified today, Father. To you be all the glory, Lord. We worship you. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for coming out today. Thank you for coming out today. And in our home, we need no entertainment with three boys. We don't really need TV, so that's why we don't turn it on. my son, he's the youngest, he's always said, I don't have a bed right because I'm the youngest. And then he figured it out this week. He said, the Bible says the first will be the last and the last will be the first. So that means I get to be the one who gets the bet right from Joshua. And then Joseph said, I don't really care because I'm in the middle. And so either way it goes, I'm in the middle. So just to get an idea what we deal with every day in our house. Lots of entertainment. And this morning I called my mom for Mother's Day, and I want to wish everybody a blessed Mother's Day. Like Pastor said, those who are yet to be mothers, those who already love on kids, those who have kids, happy, happy Mother's Day. And thank you for coming out today. And in honor of the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ, I'd like us to start in John 2. Because, see, of all the women in the Bible, she was the one who gave birth to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And today we're talking about birthing the promises of God in our life. And we'll look at two important keys that we need to birth these promises: confidence and joy. And as we go through the scriptures, you would come to see the need for confidence and the need for joy in birthing the promises of God in our lives. So turn with me to John 2, and let's start. Let's give honor to the Lord, of the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ today. So it says that on the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they had run out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. Then Jesus said, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not come. And see what his mom turned to the servants and said. His mom said to the servants, whatever he tells you to do, do it. I mean, this person just reluctantly told you that he's not ready to do miracles. And then you turn to the servants and say, whatever he tells you to do, do it. So this lady is not giving up. She has so much confidence in Jesus that she knows his ability. Even if he's reluctant, she knows he can do it, and she's tapping into it. Remember the woman who touched the hem of his garment? She said, if only I can touch the hem of his garment. And then remember the lady who says, even the crumbs will be able to make me well. So this lady has so much confidence, and she's pulling it out of Jesus. So Jesus has nothing to do. I mean, the Bible says, honor your mom and your dad, and he is our Lord, and he has to show by example that he's honoring his mom and his dad. Remember, he's also human. He's fully God, but he's fully human. Well, he goes ahead. He tells the people, fill the pots with water, and fill each of them with water. And I'm wondering, you know, there will definitely be some people in the crowd saying, okay, we are filling these pots with water. Let's see what will happen. Well, but when they filled the pots with water, she got exactly what she wanted. The water turned into wine, and her confidence did not fail. Because, see, our confidence is not in ourselves. Philippians 3:3 says, we are of the circumcision who worship the Lord in spirit, and our confidence is in God. Our confidence is not in ourselves. Because we know that God cannot lie. Titus 1:2. God cannot lie. And so if we have our confidence in God, we know that we are not wasting our time. We know that we are not just throwing our confidence in the wrong direction, but we have our confidence in God. Hebrews 10:35-36 says, therefore, cast not away your confidence in the Lord, because there's a recompense of reward for you. And if you keep trusting him and holding on to his promises, it will come to pass exactly as you believe. And that word confidence in the translation, in the literal translation, is saying your boldness in the Lord. Remember, Peter and the disciples prayed for boldness. And so that was the boldness that they had tapped into. And it's saying, don't lose that confidence in the Lord, because there's a great recompense of reward. Now, David had little 5 stones, and he said, I'm going to run to Goliath and kill this Goliath with my little 5 stones. Okay, so Saul gave him his armor. Saul gave him everything he needed and said, David said, no, I'm not used to this. This is not how I killed the lion and the bear. This is not how I dealt in the garden. This is not how I dealt with those who came for the sheep. No, I'm not used to that, but I'm used to my 5 stones. So he takes these 5 stones and he goes and he deals a blow to Goliath. So Goliath is on the floor. You know, the first question that Saul asks, he asks his servant Abner, whose son is that young man? That is so profound. He's asking him, whose son is that young man? And then when it comes down, it says in 1 Samuel 17:58, the first time he meets David, the first question he's asking him is, whose son are you? This is why it's profound. Because, see, Jesse had many sons. And when Samuel came to anoint the king, there were many sons there. Some were full of pride. Some were just not the right people. So if it was about David's natural father, all these sons would have been so full of confidence in the Lord. But that's not why David had his confidence. He had his confidence because he was on the backside of the desert and he was playing his harp. He was worshiping. And when you spend time in God's presence, you come out bold and confident, because he says, you have come against me in your God, but I come against you in the name of the God of hosts, because he was acquainted with him, because he knew him. It wasn't a secondhand passed down faith that he had. He had spent time to know this God. And so he was confident, and he knew that God would deliver him when the king didn't. Because, see, the king had switched up. The king had turned into pride. And pride is when we think we don't need God. We don't need God anymore. And so he asked him, whose son are you? But what really was the difference was who he spent time with, and that was God. And that's what made David stand out. There's a lady who saved David's life in 2 Samuel 20. So this lady that was battering on the wall, so I'll go back a little bit. So we know of Absalom, David's son, who had betrayed his dad and had turned the hearts of the people against him. So his son was now dead, and Ahithophel, who had betrayed and hanging out with Absalom, also went and killed himself, because David sent someone into their camp and they didn't take Ahithophel's advice, and he was upset and he went to kill himself. Anyway, so this man rises up in 2 Samuel 20. His name was Sheba, and he said, David said to the one in charge of their defense, he said, this man would do us more harm than anything Absalom has done. So this was a big deal. Joab is trying to get him. His brother Abishai is trying to get him. All the men are trying to put their forces together to get this one man. But you know who saved David's life? It was a wise woman. So if you go down to 2 Samuel 20 from 20 to 24, this wise woman comes and says, Joab, what's all this noise? What's all this battering? What's going on here? What is going on in this place? So he goes on and he explains. And when he explains what's going on, the lady said, you take it easy. I'm going to go into the city. I will talk to all the people. And I'm going to throw his head over to you, this Sheba who is causing all this trouble. So this lady, she had no weapons. Joab has all the weapons. but it wasn't a matter of weapons. This lady had her voice. She had her words. The Bible says she was a wise woman, and she went through the city. And as she went through the city, she told the people. And the next thing you know, she threw the head of Sheba over to Joab, and David was free. This same David who killed Goliath was saved by a woman. And today is Mother's Day, so I wanted you to know what a powerful woman she was. She's nameless, but God knows her name. Amen. So, you know, God will help us. God, what the enemy is after is our confidence. What the enemy is after is our confidence. Because if our confidence is intact, he can stop our blessing. So his goal is to cause us to shake, is to cause us to tremble against the word of God and think God's word wouldn't work. So remember, what the enemy is after is your confidence. Let's turn to Isaiah 36. We'll read from 1 through 5. And then we'll read different scriptures through there. Isaiah 36, 1 through 5. It says, "Now it came to pass in the 14th year of King Hezekiah that Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came against all the fortified cities of Judah and took them. Then the king of Assyria sent Rabshakeh with a great army from Lachish to King Hezekiah at Jerusalem. And he stood at the aqueduct of the upper pool on the highway to the Phyllis field. And Eliakim, son of Hilkiah, who was over the household of Shebna the scribe, and Joah, the son of Asaph, the recorder, came out to him. Now Rabshakeh said to them, 'Say now to Hezekiah,'" Hezekiah is the king, "'thus says the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is this in which you trust? I say you speak of having plans and power of war, but they are mere words. Now in whom have you put your trust that you rebel against me?'" So see, the enemy comes to us believers and says, "You can pay your bills. You have a Bible. You put your trust in these mere words, that these words will come to pass in your life. You put your trust in that. I'm an unbeliever. I have more money than you." You put your trust in the Bible, so the enemy taunts us and says, "Don't believe in this Bible. Don't believe in this Bible. No, don't believe in this Bible." And that's what indirectly unbelievers tell Christians. The Bible doesn't work anymore. That's what he's saying to them. You are believing in mere words. And then he goes on again and again and tells them, "Don't listen to Hezekiah. Don't listen to what he's saying. Don't believe him that God is able to deliver you." How many times haven't we dealt with that? When the word of the enemy comes and God's word is there, and what we have is, this is reality. This is a Bible written many years ago. Okay, am I going to take the Bible, or am I going to take God's word? Am I going to take the Bible, or am I going to take what these unbelievers are telling me to do? Because there's a way that seems right unto men, but in God's eyes is foolishness. So God has his own way of dealing and handling our cases, which is totally contrary to the world system. And so this man who was bragging that his king of Assyria was great and powerful, the word of the Lord, I love what Isaiah did in Isaiah 37. Right in the beginning, Hezekiah heard these words and he rent his clothes. Mm-hmm. And he ran into the house of the Lord. That's a place to go when you're in trouble. To run into see, we don't run away from the house of God when trouble comes. We run into the house of God. He ran into the house of God and he sent his servants and said, "Go and find me Isaiah the prophet. Tell him what is happening. Let's see what God has to say in this case." And this man is just, this man is here speaking against the word of God. And so Hezekiah comes with the word of God and says in Isaiah 37 that, "Don't worry, God will take care of this man here. Don't worry about him." and I will cause him to return to his homeland. And there, when he returns, he will fight amongst himself, and he will be dead by his own sword. And so when you fast forward to Isaiah 37:36, it says, then the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of Assyrians 100. God didn't even need human beings to do this. He sent his angels to go deal with this proud man. So he goes and he says, 185. And when the people arose early in the morning, there were corpses and they were all dead. And you know who killed this prideful man? He went back to Nineveh and his own two sons came and killed him. Mm-hmm. And they killed him while he was worshiping his God. Mm-hmm. So if his God was so powerful, his false God was so powerful, why couldn't he help him? Mm-hmm. But they came and they killed him while he was worshiping his false gods. That's where they killed him. Many times the enemy will come to us and tell us, would God do this? I remember when they told us I couldn't have any more kids after Joshua, I said, no, wrong address. This is just wrong address. This is wrong address. And while we were handing over in college, the lady who was handing over to me, she said, three people died here, and I just come into the hall. It was only, I had been in the hall for 2 weeks, and I ran for elections. That those who are resident in the hall are 1,000, but we have 4,000 who call it their hall. So 4,000 people eligible to vote are part of the hall. Well, she said, I should get ready with my black clothes and all because when somebody dies. And I said, ma'am, nobody would die in this hall. That's it. I couldn't say that on my own account. I have no power of my own. But I could say that standing on the word of God and knowing that God doesn't want his kids dead. And if somebody is going to be standing on the watch and praying for believers and unbelievers, I'm not going to see anybody dead in my hall, and nobody died in our hall. Amen. To the glory of God, nobody died in our hall. I remember when we took our oldest to kindergarten, and all we had taught him was to write his name, and we had taught him the numbers and the ABCs, and we taught him to read. Well, he goes to school first day, they teach him how to write. Well, the second day comes, you know what they are doing? Within the second week, they're already computing 7 + 3. I said, what? And I said, whoa, this is fast track school. You've just started teaching the kids writing. And so I get a shock and I said, I'm not going to tell Joshua he's a dummy. I kept telling him, Joshua, you're intelligent. While inside I'm shaking. I said, Joshua, you're intelligent. You're intelligent. By the time that school year is over, he made straight A's. I said that shaking, but God honored it because we are the head and we are not the tail. We are the head and we are not the tail. The good thing about God is that God will help us. How do we come up in confidence? God will help us. Let's turn to Judges 6. We'll start from 11. God will help us. It says, so now the angel of the Lord came and sat at the terebinth tree, which was an Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat and wine press in order to hide from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. That's God calling things that be not as though they were. Gideon said to him, oh, my Lord. That's a version that says, excuse me, sir. I like that. Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why has all these happened to us? And if you read verse 1, it says why that had happened to them, because they departed from the Lord. And so all these problems came upon them because they had departed from the Lord. So that's why all these things happened to them. And then he says, but the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Well, I'm going to back up a little bit. It says, oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all these happened to us? Where are all his miracles, which the fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And like us believers, we go into the Bible and we say, well, Shadrach and Abednego, they went into the fire and they came out. Elijah called on fire. Daniel went into the lion's den and he came out. Where are all these miracles that we see in the Bible? Why is it not happening to us? And that's what he's trying to express here. He says, then the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? See, he equips he that he sends. When God sends you, he will equip you to do what he's... And see, he takes the foolish things of the world to confine the wise. So God can take anything and make it beautiful because he is the creator. He creates everything. He took clay and he made man with it. There's nothing that is despised when it's put in the hands of God because God is able to make it good. So he said to him, oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Then he said to him, if now I found favor in your sight, then show me a sign. See, I wanted to comment on that because we don't do fleeces in this generation. Romans 8:14, they who are the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. We are not led by physical things, so God honored that. And so he had the fleece. He said, let it be wet out around it. The next day he said, let it be wet inside it, whatever. That was a fleece. But we don't do fleeces in this generation. But God was helping him. So God was helping him with that. And then God told him, the angel of the Lord said to him, go and tend down the God of Baal. So he goes in the night because he's still afraid. So see, God works with us wherever we are. He goes in the night and he hits it down and they wake up in the morning and they investigate and they say, who did this? And he said, this was done by Gideon. So well, they find out it's Gideon and they give him a new name. They call him Jerubbaal, saying that he had dealt with Baal. And so they gave him a new name. But this whole time, he's still afraid and God is still working with him. So God gives him one more sign to boost his confidence. So let's go on in Judges 7:13 through 14. God gives him one more help to boost his confidence. It says in 7:13 through 14, and when Gideon had come, there was a man telling a dream. So God told the angel of the Lord said to him, go into the camp of the Midianites and listen to what they're saying, and that would help you. So when Gideon had come, there was a man telling a dream to his companion. He said, I have a dream. To my surprise, a loaf of barley tumbled into the camp of the Midian. It came to a tent and struck it so that it fell and it overturned, and the tent collapsed. Then his companion answered and said, this could be nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the Joash, a man of Israel. Into his hand, God has delivered Midian and the whole camp. And when he heard this, he said to the children of Israel, get up, God has given it into our hands. See, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if we will spend time hearing and hearing and hearing, yes, faith will come, yes, to deal with what is, yes, facing us today. Yes. Because it's when we have spent time, then we come to know intimately for ourselves, yes, not a second hand, right, but know for ourselves. That's right. And so now, he knew something. And because he knew something, he could go and face the enemy. Because now he knew something. See, what do you know in what you are dealing with today? What do you know from the word of God in what you are dealing with today? What do you know from the word of God about the situation facing you today that you are able to stand on in this situation? Because if you have that knowing, then you have that confident backbone, yes, to overcome. Because our confidence is when we have absolute faith, yes, in the word of God. Yes. Because, see, God is all wise. God is all knowing. God is ever present. God has it all. So if we come to that realization, and I know that I know my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory, God is not against me. God is for me. Oh, he says that I am the healed and not the sick. He says, let the weak say I am strong. If we know that in what we are dealing with, when we have that knowing, then we can walk into any situation knowing that God is for us. So let's turn to James 1:2, because this would make it clear for us. This would help it. And that's how we can have joy. That's how we can have joy no matter what we're going through. It says in James 1:2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Count it all joy. Knowing that the testing of your faith will produce patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. When you are perfect and complete, you will lack nothing. So we're going to take it and break this apart because there's so much here. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Knowing? What do you know from God's word in the trial? Knowing that the testing of your faith, the word produces there is synonymous with employs. It would employ the patience you need to hold on to God's word in what you are dealing with. But let patience have her perfect work, that you will be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. We're going to go over again. My brethren, count it all joy. Not sadness. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith would employ, produce, synonymous with employ, patience. Hold on to the promise of God with that patience. Let it have its perfect work in you, and eventually you would be complete, lacking nothing. You will be complete, lacking nothing. 1 Peter 1:7-8. It says, these have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, honor, when Jesus Christ is revealed through you. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, you believe in him, and with inexpressible, glorious joy. So we believe in what God can do, and so we have glorious joy. Because we have confidence in him, we have glorious joy. Because the joy in us would ignite the faith in God. The joy of the Lord is our strength. It will strengthen us in the battle. So this is why we are counting the joy when we fall into various trials, because that's where our strength comes from. See, Isaiah 12:3 says that we access what God has. We access with joy. It says, therefore, with joy would you draw out of the wells of salvation, not with sadness. What did Jesus accomplish on the cross? Healing? What did Jesus accomplish on the cross? He for your shame, he stood on that cross. So God is there to accomplish for you, but he says you draw with the wells of salvation. What else is in joy? Do you need direction in life? What else is in joy? It says in Psalm 16:11, thou will show me the path of life. In thy presence is the fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. You need to know the path of life. You access it with joy. You access it with joy. If you're sick, how do you access it? It says, Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. Uh-huh. So if your bones are drying, find out, are you having joy? Or are you always sad? Because a broken spirit dries up the bones. Psalm 67:5-6. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield increase, and God, even our God, will bless us. So when we are joyful, we see increase. When we are joyful, we see increase. Because God inhabits the praises of his people. God inhabits the praises of his people. I like us to look at Hannah in the Bible from 1 Samuel 1, 10 through 18. The story of Hannah is so good, and that would bring this so clearly and bring it up for you. It says, "And she was bitter in soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, 'O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life and no razor will touch his head.'" And it happened as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli watched her. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Then Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said, "How long would you be drunk? Put the wine away from you." But Hannah answered, "No, my Lord, I'm a woman of sorrowful spirit. I'm a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but I've poured out my soul." Remember, her soul is a sorrowful spirit. Don't consider your maidservant wicked. Out of the abundance of my complaint and my grief have I spoken up until now. So all she's going to God is doing, "I'm complaining, I'm grieving, I'm complaining." Every time she, and see, the Bible says we enter his gates with thanksgiving. We enter his courts with praise. Nothing is going to happen with a sorrowful spirit because you don't even have access into the gate. You don't have access into the gate with a sorrowful spirit. You have access when you are thanking him for what he's already done and thanking him for what is ahead. And as you thank him and as you bless his name, as you praise him, you go from the gate and you go into the courts and then you can make your request known. But see what happens after Eli speaks to her. And Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant you what you have asked him." And she said, "Let your maidservant find favor in your sight." So see the switch. So Hannah went away, and she ate, and her face was no longer sad. Then the miracle came. Then the miracle came. You can't keep going to God with a sorrowful spirit, with a sorrowful spirit, with a sorrowful spirit. No, and pouring out complaints, complaints, complaints. No, that's not what we want to pour out to God. We want to pour out to God. "God, you are holy. You are magnified. Lord, I don't understand what I'm going through, but like Paul and Silas, I'll stand here and sing oceans. Lord, I bless your name. I thank you for what you are doing. Lord, I don't understand what is going on, but you are able." You are able. Because he's able. He's able to do abundantly more than we can ask or think. I'd like us to look at something in Joel 1:12. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Joel 1:2, it says, "The vine dried up, the fig tree languisheth, the pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree, even all the trees of the field are withered." Why? Because joy is withered away from the sons of men. Why did all that come upon them? Because joy had withered from the sons of men. See, in this age, when people go to the government for whatever assistance, you have to show how poor you are, how you're on your last dime. No, God says when you come to him, praise him, praise him. Because as you praise him, he inhabits the praises of his people. And as we praise him, he restores. Another thing God does when we praise him is he restores. Joel 2, 20 through 26. God restores as we praise him. It says, "But I'll remove far from you the northern army. I will drive them away." So all these people have come against them. "With his face towards the eastern sea and his back towards the western sea, his stench will come up and his foul odor will rise because he has done monstrous things. Fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice." See what God is telling them to do? "Fear not, be glad and rejoice. For the Lord has done marvelous things." It hasn't manifested yet, but he's saying he has done marvelous things. "Do not be afraid, you beasts of the field, for the open pastures are springing up and the trees bear its fruit. The fig tree and the vine yield their strength." Be glad. you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord, for he has given you the former rain faithfully. He will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain. The threshing floors will be full of wheat. The vats would overflow with new wine. And then he says, so I will restore. He says, so I will restore unto you. I missed my notes here. So I will restore to you the years the swarming locusts had eaten, the crawling locusts, the coming locusts, the chewing locusts, my great army which I send before you, among you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord who has dealt wondrously to you. And my people will never be ashamed. But what happened before he said that? He says, rejoice, be glad. That is how you access it, be glad. Habakkuk 3, 17 through 19. He says, be glad. Habakkuk 3, 17 through 19. It says, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruits be on the vine, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no fruit, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Yet! I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength. Because when you are in joy, we just looked at that, you will be strengthened. He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me walk on my hind heels because I'm rejoicing in the situation. That's what God will do. Jeremiah 33, 9 through 12. God restores when we rejoice and when we are glad. Thank you, Jesus. So after church, Madel's is closed on Sunday. But find some music and start praising. Look at the situation and start praising. I remember when our oldest son began to walk, his legs were funny, and we took him to the university hospital up in Denver. And we got there, and they said they had to do a surgery. And we said, no, we wouldn't approve cutting. We'll go back and trust our God. And we went back, and for many months, he walked with his legs like that. And we made a decision that every time we saw his legs like that, what the enemy made to put us to shame, we will praise God. And every time we saw his leg, we praised God. Every time we saw his leg, we praised God. One day, we were coming from church, and we looked at him, and we all yelled, oh, my goodness, Joshua's legs are straight. Oh, my goodness, Joshua's legs are straight. Because we will praise him in the storm. We will praise him in the storm. Thank you, Jesus. Jeremiah 33, 9 through 12. Then it came to me, then it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise, and honor before all nations of the earth, who shall bear all the good that I do to them. They shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and all the prosperity I provide. Thus says the Lord. Again, there shall be heard in this place, of which you say it is desolate, without man, without beast, and the city of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem that are desolate, without man and without inhabitant, without beast, the voice of joy and the voice of gladness and the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride and the voice of those who say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good. For his mercy endures forever. And of those who will bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. For I will cause the captives of the land to return as the first, says the Lord. I will cause the captives to return. Thus says the Lord, in this place which is desolate, without man and without beast, in this city, there shall again dwell shepherds, causing their flocks to lie down. How did that start? Because they praised. And they rejoiced. It started because they praised and they rejoiced. Amen?
Amen.
So what are you going to do with this?
Praise God.
What are you going to do with this? So as we close today, we'll turn to Isaiah 54. And that would make so much sense now. So it says, sing, O barren. Why should the barren sing? You've had no child, but the Bible says, sing. There's something barren in your life, it says, sing. There's a place in your life you don't like how it's looking, the Bible says, sing. You who have not born, break forth into singing. you have not labored with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. And now it tells her to enlarge her tent. See, that's contrary. I have no kids now, so I have one bedroom. God is saying, prepare. It's saying, prepare, prepare. It says, enlarge your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For you shall extend to the right and to the left. Your descendants would inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed. You will not be ashamed trusting God. You will not be ashamed trusting God. You will not be ashamed trusting God. Thank you, Jesus. Neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame. For you will forget the shame of your youth, and you will remember the reproach of your widowhood no more. And then down at 10 it says, for the mountain shall depart, the hill shall be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you. Nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord. O you afflicted one, tossed with tempers and not comforted, behold, I lay a stone of colorful gems and lay your foundations with sapphire. I will make pinnacles of rubies, your gates of crystals, and your walls of precious stones. And your children shall all be taught of the Lord. He's telling you about how he would deal with your children, even though at that moment she was barren. And this also prophesies about the church, but it applies to us as well. Indeed, they shall surely assemble together. Oh, in righteousness shall you be established. You shall be far from oppression, and you shall not fear. And from terror it shall not come near you. Indeed, they shall surely gather, but not by me. Whosoever assembles against you will fall for your sake. Behold, I've created the blacksmith. Who blows the coals in fire? Who brings forth instruments for his work? I've created the spoiler to destroy, and no weapon fashioned against you will prosper. See, the end of the wicked is destruction. There's no hope for the wicked. But we who trust in our God shall be like Mount Zion. We shall not be moved, and the rod of the wicked will not rest upon the Lord of the righteous. No, no, no. It says, no weapon fashioned against you will prosper. And every tongue that rises up against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the children of God. And see, when we take a stand that we want to follow God, it looks like we are being foolish. I mean, think about Noah. He's building an ark. Okay, have you seen rain? God said rain is coming. Okay, so you are building an ark for what you don't know is coming. Or think about David. You're going to fight Goliath with 5 stones. Think about the little boy with the 2 fish and 5 loaves. He says, let me take this to Jesus, and I think he might be able to do something with it to feed 5,000 men with all their children. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Or think about Abraham. He's walking through Madels. He says, let me get some praise music, because as I praise God in this situation, my promised child will come. And Sarah is at Walmart, and she's trying to get clothes because her baby is coming. And Gideon is like, okay, now I think I can take down the Midianites. Or Peter, Jesus said to him, don't be afraid. Just get up and walk on this water. And Paul and Silas, they're standing in the prison gates, and they're thinking, tomorrow is our last day, but let's just praise him anyway. You are worthy of it all. We will praise you, Lord, even when we don't understand. Or Moses standing before the Red Sea, the Egyptians are behind him, and he has a stick. And what are you going to do with that stick, Moses? God will show up somehow. I don't know. Or Hannah, she's there, and her rival is mocking her, and she has no baby. And she says, no, I'm now eating. I've stopped sorrowing. It's not helping. I tried that. Now I just eat, and I just rejoice. Because they who trust God will be fat. That's a good one to go to McDonald's on. It'll be fat and flourishing. So now I'm just trusting God. And so I stopped all the sorrowing. But you know what? Abraham did get his son, Isaac. The enemy cannot laugh at us forever. No, we who put our trust in him, we have a future. The little boy's lunch did feed 5,000. David's 5 stones did kill Goliath. Esther, when she was running to go meet the king and she hadn't been sermoned, and she went anyway. Esther did save the Jews because she was brave enough to trust in God. Gideon did deliver the people from the Midianites. Hannah did have her Samuel. The Israelites looked foolish when they were marching around, going lap one, lap two, lap three around the walls of Jericho. All with just a shofar. That's not scientific. That's not wise. But the walls of Jericho did come down. Paul and Silas, the chains broke because God inhabits the praises of his people. Daniel, when the king told him that, is that God you serve day and night able to deliver you? Daniel says, yes. Even the unbelievers know when you serve God day and night, not month to month or year to year. The unbelievers know it. Yes. Rak, Shadrach, and Abednego. They said, just throw us into this fire. We won't bow down to your graven image. Oh, and the king looked in and he says, there's one more. How did he know it looked like the Son of Man? Because we who trust our God will never be put to shame. We who trust in our God will never be put to shame. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm believing for miracles in this place. I'm believing for miracles in this place. I'm believing for testimonies, Lord. Lord, I'm believing for testimonies. Oh, you said your word is followed with signs and wonders, Lord. Let there be testimonies, Lord. Let there be testimonies of your goodness, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, we bless your name, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. God never fails. God never fails. God never fails. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We bless your name, Lord. Let there be testimonies. Let there be testimonies of your goodness, Lord. For we who trust in you will never be put to shame. We bless your name, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, because we are fearless. Oh, like the Lion of Judah, we are fearless. Philippians 1:28 says, in nothing terrified by our adversaries. We are not terrified by our adversaries. Oh, and Philippians 4:4, we will rejoice always. And this is how we will get out of every situation. We will rejoice in every situation. This is how we get out. And Jesus stood on the cross and his enemies thought they had him. Is that the King of the Jews? So shameful on the cross with a crown of sticks. But Jesus stood on that cross. And he says, hold on, devil. I'm going down to take the keys from the devil. And when I take those keys, I'm coming back again. And that same spirit which raised Jesus from the dead resides in you and me today. And therefore, no weapon fashioned against you can prosper. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Rebbe Shande. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray, let's pray, let's pray. Let's take some time to pray. Father, we bless your name. We bless your name tonight. We bless your name this morning. Oh, you are so faithful, Lord. Oh, we bring to you everything the enemy has mocked us with. We lift it up to you today. Whatever the enemy has mocked us with, that you will turn it into a testimony. Oh, that same Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. That same Jesus who stood on the cross is our Messiah today. Oh, may there be Let there be testimonies, Lord. Let there be testimonies, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Oh, let there be testimonies, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, rebebebebe shande. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Lift up your voice and give it.
Hallelujah. And
rejoice about. What is my day in my life to sing about? Oh, but as you sing and as you rejoice, I the Lord God will give you victory. I the Lord God will give you victory. I the Lord God will give you victory. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We give you glory. Let's lift up our hands to him this morning. May God bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine on you. May this day mark the beginning of a new beginning in your world.
Amen.
And we go in the mighty name of Jesus. May every tear be wiped away in Jesus' mighty name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Somebody shout a shout of victory.
Amen.
Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
As they thank offering, they bring thank offerings to the house of the Lord. give thanks to the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Then I like this in the English Standard. It says, for I will restore the fortunes of the land as I first says the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. As we give thanks to him, as we give praise to him, oh, what is he doing? He is restoring our fortunes.
Amen.
I see that as your story in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Glory be to the name of our Lord. Have a blessed week. Next week, I will speak. We will be looking at the word of God on this month. We will talk about it in relation to the Holy Spirit, how he reveals the word of God to us so we can walk in victory. And if you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit as well, next week you will have an opportunity to receive as we talk about the word and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You don't want to miss that one. Bring your friend next week.
Amen.
It will be a glorious time.
Amen.
This is you doing a good job.
Amen.
We trust this podcast was a blessing. Subscribe for more messages like these. If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, we would love to hear from you. Email us at info@wordmissionchurchinternational.org. You may reach us at 719-235-5535. Find us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Google+. Be our guest this weekend at 5050 Edison Avenue, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Saturday at 6 p.m., Sunday 10 a.m. May the blessings of the Lord be with you.